Krishna Kamala Patraksha Punya Sravana Kirtana Suryamano Nagai Gopai Sada Sada Then lotus-eyed Lord Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant, returned home to Vraja, his elder brother, Balaram. Along the way, the cowherd boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glories. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Raksudamitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Tapitam bhutale Shyam Rupa Kadamaya Tadati Puna Puna Apayama manabhipsamandam ipambuhiya paradhukaduki sanatanastam tabumasriyami Vaishnavebhyo namo namah Prabhu Nityananda, Vyadvaita Gadadhar, Shivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Vrindavan. The last time I spoke to this group, at least the Sunday group, although I know there's some crossover there, I was in Mayapur the night before we were leaving, and now this is the evening where the tour, or at least the first tour batch, has finished. We finished our parikram of Vrindavan. Very, very wonderful. We did a few things a little bit new this year, but the result was very, very wonderful. Process of just like in the Vyasa days when he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, before he wrote the Bhagavatam, and he had initially compiled the Vedas and felt dissatisfied, and it was actually, he was quite puzzled as to why, because dissatisfaction is a symptom of doing something wrong. And he worked so hard, and he was under discipline, he tried to follow his guru's orders, and he felt dissatisfied in heart, and then the answer came to him internally by the super soul, and externally by the external manifestation of the super soul, the spiritual master. And such a wonderful point, you have not sufficiently glorified Krishna. And that's the root of all dissatisfaction. The root of all dissatisfaction is not being absorbed in truth, the reality, and reality is Krishna. And the way to be absorbed in truth or reality is to chant and hear that reality. Hearing is the first essential. I always quote that verse, Maya Saptamano Partha Yogam Yunjan Marasya Asamsayam Samagamya Itagya. Just hear from me in full consciousness and be minded back. Here, and then the consciousness becomes absorbed. And as the consciousness becomes absorbed in Krishna, which is the nature of the soul, to have relationship with the absolute reality, then automatically, bhakti pareshanu bhavo varatir, just as when we eat, we feel pain of hunger, we feel satisfied, and we feel the taste of the food and the pleasure of the food, just as those three things happen simultaneously, simply by absorption in the absolute reality, we get direct realization of the absolute reality, we get devotion, and we get detachment. And those three things go together in a parallel way. Very interesting that devotion and renunciation parallel each other as they rise, just as the hunger abates and the satisfaction in the body rises at the same time. So just like that, if our detachment is rising but not our devotion, we're becoming contaminated with jnana or speculation. And if our devotion rises but not our detachment, then we're sentimental, sahajiya. Anyway, the point I'm making is this is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that satisfaction in the heart comes when our activities and thoughts are congruent with our nature as souls, as servants of Krishna. And the servant is absorbed in the person whom he serves. So the point I'm making this is I see this every year, the science, as the group of devotees come here, and we're absorbed in chanting and hearing day and night. This is pilgrimage. Chare Vatani Haritoshanani. As Vidura went on pilgrimage, Chare Vatani Hari. He made a vow only for Krishna. And we must have times in our day when we make vows only for Krishna, our morning sadhana. We must have times in the month only for Krishna. Akadasi, Janmashtami, the days of Lord Hari. We must have times of the year only for Krishna pilgrimage. We must have times of the life only for Krishna, vanaprastha and sannyas. So when our life is only for Krishna, then absorbed in Krishna, absorbed in chanting and hearing about Krishna, then there's satisfaction in heart. And I'm just so satisfied today. We finished our tour and seeing the satisfaction in heart, the transformation of the devotees just by that experience. And we finished our parikram today. We did it differently. I had a different idea. Rather than, we usually just go to one spot in Govardhan and have a puja and then one day go around. This day we leisurely spent 2 days going around Govardhan. We did the Govardhan parikram in 2 days. And my reasoning is, and this is studying the Rag Bhakti section of the Bhakti Sandhara, that the benefit in bhakti is not just the rule. I've checked off Govardhan parikram. Govardhan parikram is wonderful. When you go around Govardhan, you're going to be absorbed. Even if you're in pain or tired, it's such a wonderful... But this time, I thought, why not go around twice in 2 days and spend more time in each place leisurely and be more absorbed? That worked. It really worked. And we also had the benefit of Paryashra Prabhu to do kirtan and enliven all the devotees and kirtan around, and it was wonderful, wonderful absorption. And it just reaffirmed the philosophy. At Bhurijan Prabhu, the other day I was seeing, he asked me, where is your faith lie in Krishna consciousness? It's such a wonderful question. And it means, where is that taste or experience that keeps you going despite, and you fill in the blank, and there's so many things, despite what we go through. What keeps you going? What is that experience? And certainly these type of pilgrimages give us the experience, the taste for Krishna consciousness that lets us know that this process is very real. Plus, I was also talking to Bhakti Sundarbha today that there was this two minor doubts that remain until the Vidyate Hridayam Grantis, to the heart and the mouth, the liberation comes. And that is it really true? And if it is true, can I actually attain this? But you get so much faith. Faith is what? Bhakti. Our faith is in bhakti. And what is bhakti? Bhakti is that desire in the heart you want to please Krishna. A desire which is which is actually part of the Lord's pleasure potency and actually gives us satisfaction and pleasure in heart. So it was when we did that, and that was a little bit different, Govardhan Parikrama in 2 days. And I'm just sharing this with you because I know many of you have gone to India and gone to Vrindavan, and those remembrances of Vrindavan are some of the things that really inspire you and keep you going in Krishna consciousness. But of course, I made clear the point that Krishna consciousness is a process of the mind, not the body. It took the body places where it facilitates the mind. You put your body in Vrindavan, it facilitates the mind. Because of the puja koki lahamsa sada sadhane kiniyamayoko, because of the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere. But as Rupa Goswami says, you can't live in Vrindavan physically than live in the mind. And better live in the mind than to just be here in body only. Everything in Krishna consciousness is a matter of consciousness, and which is why Krishna told the gopis, I'm there, my bhava manifestation. Krishna is everywhere. He's Agnyam Gyan. He's consciousness with nothing is outside of. But how do you contact? He's everywhere. But how do you contact? This is the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Where is Krishna? Is he in this pillar? Yes. But how can you access him? By your devotion, and therefore he reciprocates with you by making himself manifest. And this is just a standard principle of personality. You can stand physically before a person, but you only know him when he chooses to reveal himself to you. And when would someone choose to reveal himself to you? If you actually love that person. So if we love the absolute reality, whether we are in Vrindavan or New York, New Jersey, California, Texas, whatever it is, if we love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's there. Vrindavan is the internal potency. Holy name is the internal potency. And Vrindavan is where the internal potency is. So Vrindavan is ultimately where our consciousness is ultimately fixed on Krishna in love and devotion. And if we can't deny it, it's easier to do here. And a very interesting parikram. We had at least 40 people going out every day, wide variety of people. And even one day, it was, I don't know how this happened, but some American tourists approached us to join our parikram. And I explained to them, because we're outside the MVP, that you know, I'm going to be going to the Vamsivat. There's a place I'm going, and this is a very, you know, the people here have a frame of reference to understand this, and I fear that you may not have the frame of reference and you won't get so much out of it. And I was going to send them, you know, one of the other people to take it, but they said, no, we'll join along, we'll go. And they actually established people, the two couples, both just turning 60, a little bit, maybe my age or a little bit older, who had, you know, three children each at home, and they were taking their tour to India. They were established people, but wanted to relive the 60s. And one young man had graduated, and they came on our tour, and they just, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, they were just chanting, and they were so appreciative, somehow or other. They came through, and they came on Govardhan Parikrama. So it was quite a wonderful tour. I guess I'm going to get into the text. I guess I'm hesitating because there hasn't been the time to prepare it. But even though didn't have the time to prepare it, I always remember the advice of Radha Govinda Swami, wonderful Bhagavad Gita speaker, wonderful devotee, when I asked him, he was helping me. I was teaching here one day a year in Shravan. I was doing the Birth of Lord Krishna in the commentaries. And the Birth of Lord Krishna, I was teaching it, and I was going to him for 10, 15 minutes a day, and he would give me, in the verses, it's very wonderful, because Vasudev is trying to convince Kamsa not to kill his wife. Vasudev is the ultimate spiritual diplomat, and he's the top person in terms of his diplomatic acumen and his spiritual intelligence. So naturally, when someone says something to someone, they're anticipating in an argument what that person's objection is in the mind. But it's not said in the text, and it came out in the commentaries. And he was sharing that with me, and I was sharing with the students. And it was very enlivening. And then he was going. I said, what am I going to do now? He gave me very good advice. He said, Paramatma is the best tika or commentary. And I took that advice. Really, and when I studied the Bhagavatam, and advice he gave to Bhurijana, once asked him, well, how do you study the Bhagavatam? He says, I don't, I just relish. So really, of course, we study it, but the Bhagavatam is to actually relish. And what are you relishing? You're relishing rasa. And what is rasa? Rasa is effective affection for Krishna. And therefore, Jiva Goswami said, very interesting thing, he said, you cannot say there's rasa in the Bhagavatam. He said, you have to say that the Bhagavatam is simply composed of rasa. In other words, it's not just here and there. The whole thing is love for Krishna, because it's being spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. Every word is love for Krishna. Even when he's describing the creation, it's describing Krishna. There's love. And every person in the Bhagavatam, speaking in the exchanges, that's love for Krishna. So when we read the Bhagavatam, it embodies that love for Krishna that we're aspiring for. And by this eagerness to hear, which is our desire for that, creates the receptacle. It draws out when that affection is spoken, that love of the people speaking the Bhagavatam and the exchanges in the Bhagavatam, it draws it out and somehow or other changes our heart. And transformation of the heart is the goal of spiritual life. You're advanced or not advanced according to the condition of the heart. And when one becomes soft and loving, and has some feelings towards Krishna, he's advancing. And the Bhagavatam is the process. Now, I think that I said enough there, and I'm going to get into the verse. Just one more thing. In both my classes, chapter 15, The Killing of Dainakasura, on Sunday, and on the Wednesday class, The Brahmins the Wives of the Brahmins Blessed, in both of these, I'm coming to the end of the stories. It's exactly paralleling each other. So if anybody wants to write me, just getting feedback, of course, I'll decide what we should do next. I'm not sure if I should continue with the Bhagavatam stories, or maybe rotate with some Gaur Leela, like Chaitanya Bhagavat, although that will really be the Paramatma is the best tika or the commentary, because there's no commentaries on that. I'll just have to try to relish it and describe it. But we've been doing that in Mayapur evening. I don't know how it'll work in this same atmosphere. I was thinking maybe we had Bhagavatamrita, or there's various options, and maybe different Wednesday or Sunday, one Gaur Leela, one Krishna Leela, something, or rotate in that way. I also thought just connecting Sunday and Wednesday, because I always go back anyway, because now I kind of forget sometimes which Leela I spoke about last, because it was a week. Anyway, you can see I'm kind of rambling on today because it's been a long day. But let's get to this wonderful verse here, because Lotus Eye Lord Krishna's glories are most pious, the ear and chant, turned home to Vraja with his elder brother Balaram. Along the way, coward boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glory. So we're remembering this pastime. And it's very interesting because we had a description of the cowherd boys in the forest, and I pointed out how they had sung with such feeling in if I could find that verse, they sung with such feeling in heart. Their activities were described, and it was appropriate for the occasion, meaning that they sung the right pastimes and the right rag, and it was coming from their hearts. And I describe it. I can repeat it every class. It's such a wonderful point that Vrindavan, every talking is a song, every walking is a dance. So everything that Krishna does is dynamic and wonderful and worthy of glorification, worthy of celebration. And in fact, in the spiritual world, any little thing can be celebrated. It's wonderful. Even the Krishna's, the wind blowing his dhoti is like dhoti is the cowherd voice. Did you see that? His songs, his festivals. So I already described it. And then after that, there was this Isha Cheshtata. There was the descriptions of his powerful activities. And then we had a description how those powerful activities, this the Aishwarya, even in Vrindavan, the grass and the milk that's boiling coming up just occasionally, the Aishwarya coming up occasionally, increases the Madhurya. My friend, my son has done things wonderful. My lover has done things wonderful. And at the same time, somehow that Krishna's greatness creates dinata. It creates humility. Humility or dinata. That Aishwarya, therefore, is like a vessel. It creates the dinata, humility, the respect, which is the basis of servitude, which is the essence of all rasas. It just creates the shape in which we fill it with the sweetness of Krishna's love. So we saw the Isha Cheshtata. It ended. Krishna, Balaram easily killed the demons. These horrible man-eating demons. We described the mentality of the demon. And he's protecting this forest of sweet fruits. And he can only eat grass. He's protecting these sweet fruits. The gross material conscious. I can't enjoy it, but no one else should enjoy it. Not the question of just my sensual stimulation. It's the psychology of the material world, that I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. And to feel that you're the enjoyer and you're the controller, you have to enjoy, and you have to enjoy more than anyone else, and therefore you have to control, because to enjoy, you need to control. Control, you need wealth and power. So the whole world, material consciousness, is after wealth and power, because wealth and power I can control, and when I can control, I can enjoy. And not only enjoy, I can enjoy much more than others, because I'm not just into sensual stimulation. I'm into enjoying and controlling more than others. And therefore, it's also my goal that no one else is happy and no one else enjoys. And that's the gross material, and these demons have to be eradicated by Balaram, by Guru, gross material manifestation. And not only eradicates him, he wipes out the whole forest. Anything in contact with that mentality now is completely contaminated. Balaram, the agricultural minister, is clearing the ground so the seed of bhakti can be planted. And now we have another thing. We've had this pastime, because it's Krishna in maturity, Koganda. Previous to this, it was Komara. So then we have another thing. We saw the forest of Vrindavan. And please remember the visions of that forest of Vrindavan. All the elements, the wind and the the sounds, everything for glorifying Krishna, the intention to glorify Krishna, and the beauty of the forest of Vrindavan. We saw another thing. We saw the forest of Vrindavan, and now Krishna killed the demon, and now we're coming back to Raja. Coming back to the forest, to the pasturing grounds where the homes are situated. And therefore, again, we're seeing the embankments. Those to the forest, people in Vrindavan are in separation. Forest blooms. He leaves the forest withers, and the residents of Vrindavan come to life. And why do they come to life? They come to life because they're meeting Krishna. And why do they come to life in meeting Krishna? Because Krishna Kamala Patraksha, it expresses his beauty. His eyes are like lotus petals. Lotus is transcendental. I mean, I don't know if in the West you see lotus petals, but there's one time of the year where you have lotuses in Vrindavan. And they make garlands out of lotuses. And when you see a lotus, you just cannot believe it is a creation of the material world. Its beauty is beyond anything else you can see. Have you ever seen a lotus? Yeah. You ever seen a lotus? You ever seen a lotus? Yes. What? Various types. Vishnu Thakur here from Bengal. Garlands from Bengal. He's not only seen lotuses, he's seen various lotuses of many colors. Pink lotus, the blue lotus, so many lotuses. But his eyes are like lotus. So this is coming back. Krishna, your Krishna. Mamata, my Krishna. With lotus eyes, he's coming back. He's coming back. Where? Very interesting. The word for he returned is avijat. Raja means to go. Raja means to go where? Ultimately, it means to go to the forest. Avijat means the return to the pasturing grounds. So the word for return is avijat. So from the forest to Raja, the cow pastures, he's returning. And now we're hearing about the beauty of Krishna, which the residents of Vrindavan, who in separation, will now see. Separation. Krishna, Krishna. Hey, Krishna. Hey, Rad. Hey, Vajradeva. Hey, Chalalite. Hey, Nanda Sunokata. The eagerness to see Krishna. It's just like when you're hungry, food tastes better. Actually, we went out on Advaita Charya's thing. We fasted. Volunteer. I said, anyone can eat. Everyone volunteered. And we went out. We didn't eat all day. And I don't think anyone even cared. Because we read Govardhan. And we read Radhakund. I saw that. People were not agitated for food. Because the real lack in the being and the self was being satisfied. Which is the association but the object of love, which is a non-eternal and real, and therefore the worthy object love to fill their heart. When we came home, we were hungry. And when you're hungry, food tastes better. So the separation increases the taste of Krishna. So they're hankering. So Punya, Shravana, Kirtana, who's got Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant? Srinvatasvakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. It's the most purifying thing to hear these descriptions about Krishna. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is indicating to Maharaj Prickett and us that these descriptions are the things that will purify our hearts the most. What is the impurity in our heart? The impurity in our heart is that we don't want to serve. Why? Because we're not attracted to the worthy object of service. We hear that attraction will come. Krishna Kamala Pattaya. Punya Shravana Kirtana. So now what we'll hear about? Krishna. Stu Yamana, who's being glorified. And what is he doing? He's with his elder brother, Balaram. And the cowherd boys. And what are the cowherd boys doing? Cowherd boys are doing their kirtan. Krishna especially, he returned. It says he returned. Not he's with his brother, but it says he returned. Especially refers to Krishna as he's eager to return to Vraja. We'll see, to meet the gopis and the others at his pleasure. And he returns in the same day. Because if he returned the next day, it would have said Ekada, once upon a time. The same day he's returning in the forest. Raja. To attract the residents. So the forest is ending, and the residents of Vrindavan are eager. So now, we'll read about that. We'll finally see, this is the introduction of the gopis in the Bhagavad. This is the glory of this pastime. So, Amgola jas churita kuntala bhajjabaha Vanya Pushuna Uttarekshana Charuhasam Venum Kranamta Manugai Upagita Kirtam Opio the Dixit Opio the Dixit of the show Yagaman Saneta. Lord Krishna's hair powdered with the dust raised by the cows, was decorated with a peacock feather and forest flowers. So I have people before me here in class. I would say a few. This is really, it's actually 10:19 here. So there's a few eager hearers here who somehow, you don't know how, somehow have bhakti, which is the desire to hear about Krishna. They're amazed. How is this possible? But it doesn't, they're here and you're there. But if you have your remembrance hats on, smaran hats, and you can actually envision this, and they're sleeping, and who's getting more benefit? They're not sleeping, they're up, but. So Lord Krishna's hair, powdered with the dust raised by the cow. He went on one part of the Radha, the Govardhan Trikram, there's just one part, remember? And there was that dust where your feet actually, when you walk, you create that powder, the Rajaraj, the Goraj. So, Churita, Lord Krishna's hair, powdered with the dust raised by the cows, was decorated with a peacock feather and forest flowers. What type of forest flowers? The Lord glanced charmingly and smiled beautifully, playing upon his flute, while his companions chanted his glories. Here's Krishna coming in from the forest, and it's the distance. So the gopis all together came forward to meet him. Their eyes were very eager to see him. So the ecstasy now of the mutual seeing and offering respect between the Supreme Lord, who's decorated in the evening, it's suitable for the evening with these, and the gopis is described. Because this is actually the essence of the spiritual world. You have the environment of Vrindavan, but the environment of Vrindavan is just and the Leela and the internal potency and the pastimes, everything is to facilitate this prayojana tattva, this goal, which is the loving exchange between Krishna and his energies, between his devotees. This rasa, rasa va saha, this is the highest. This is the eternal reality, this pleasure of the absolute reality. We described many, many times that there's an absolute reality and he desires to enjoy how the way he wants to enjoy. And how does he want to enjoy? He wants to enjoy intense love, which we also see as a principle perverted but reflected here. That's what everyone wants. They want a satisfied heart. They want an object of love. They want these exchanges. I see it also, somehow this group, a unlikely group to unify, somehow by the mercy of Parikram, unify, and devotees feel so satisfied when they're living in an environment of open-heartedness, exchange, and service, and love. They feel so nourished. But this is the eternal reality. And what type of love? The highest love. And it's going to be described here. There's exchanges and various types of relationships. The devotee is a shraya. He's the vessel of love. That's what we are meant for. We're made as a vessel, and we're meant to hold something. And what are we meant to hold? We're meant to hold the internal potency. We're meant to hold love in our hearts to offer to Krishna. This is the eternal reality. The eternal reality is Shakti and Shaktiman. It's the potent source and its energies. Vyachupad apasam, Vyasudeva in his meditation saw the ultimate reality. Apashyat purusham purnam. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maya Chitadapasyam, as energies under his control. And that the commentaries say that Maya didn't just mean the illusory potency, but he saw also the internal potency, which means he saw Vrindavan. That's what's being described. His vision, the most purified person, Bhakti Yogena Manasi, who engaged in meditation on that absolute reality and devotion, Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Paniyatemala, without any distraction, completely without any distraction. And then he saw reality. And this is what he saw. And this is our goal, to be part of reality. And these loving exchanges. So today, we'll be able to describe something of this incredible loving exchange and the sentiments in the heart between Krishna and the gopis, his topmost lovers. So first, what are they loving? Lord Krishna. And what do we see? It describes Kuntala. First, Kuntala. Kuntala. His hair. What type of hair? Powdered with dust of Vrindavan. Powdered with dust of Vrindavan even makes Krishna's hair look more beautiful. I don't know how we can envision it. But Krishna's hair, powdered by the dust of, decorated with a peacock feather and forest flowers. So it's describing, it indicates his beauty. But how? From top to bottom. Because the face is special beauty. And the beauty of the person arises first from his face. Describing it from top to bottom. Just like the Bhagavatam. The beauty of the Bhagavatam is this. It's the 10th canto, ultimately, which is the face of the Lord, and ultimately the Panchajaya, the 5 chapters describing the Rasalila, which is a smiling face. So this is what the gopis are perceiving. Can we imagine if we have affection? We may have some experience of some infatuation or love in this world, but imagine love for the worthy object of love, who is Krishna. He's all attractive. We may have some inkling of attraction to something in this world, but it's such a fragment of Krishna's beauty. We may appreciate a person's vibhuti, his power, his personality, his character, his love, his looks, his dress, his athletic ability, but Krishna, it's unlimited. And his hair, powdered with dust, was decorated. The peacock feather and forest flowers, the nature of Vrindavan is very beautiful. Because sometimes something which appears inferior in the spiritual world, but from our standards, the material is the highest there. Like, for example, the Parakya Ras, it's the lowest thing here, it's the highest thing there. And Krishna's jewelry is what? It's not diamonds, rubies, diamonds, rings, and gold. Just to attract fools to the spiritual. It's not rings, it's peacock feather, and we can actually see it. Peacock feather, so beautiful, natural beauty. And not a pearl necklace, but Krishna likes a punja mala. So beautiful, very. So the Lord, now, he's announcing his arrival. And the residents, the drikshita, the drikshita, they're eager to see drisha with their eyes. They're so eager to see. This is the sight that their eyes want to see. And what do they see? The first thing, they don't see him. He announces his arrival. How? The padaduli, the dust goraj of Vrindavan. And then, so imagine, have your situation, you're an observer, and you're looking over the vraja, the far, and from the forest is coming Krishna, and he's in the distance. And what do you see first? The powdered dust. And then what? Then you hear the ultimate musical sound to vibe in the heart. And then finally, the kirtan of the coward boys. Now, it's interesting. The previous verse said, so Agraja, together with Balaram. Here it doesn't mention Balaram. It just says, Lord Krishna. What happened to Balaram? Krishna is attracting the gopis, and therefore Balaram goes far away. Because he's the servant to Godhead. And he's the brother. Brother, just like Lord Nityananda did not stay in Puri and out and preach. Why didn't he stay in Puri? He didn't stay in Puri because Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of the gopis. And the mood of the gopis doesn't come out in relationship to the brother. It's natural. This simple rasa, even in this world. So Balaram's not mentioned. And this is the first verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita describes this. And the gopis came forward. So now here it is, the rasa. Krishna, he's attracting them, and they're going forward. And very interesting, they come forward, which means what? They're coming forward, it means that they're leaving their houses, and they're not allowed. It just, this is a perfect adjustment. It just shows you how the eagerness and the cult, they come out of their houses, they're chased, but they leave their houses, but because they're chased, they come together, because young girls can't go alone. They come together to see Krishna. So they're eager to see him. And especially they're in tremendous separation. Why? Oganda, this is the first day. Because it didn't say once upon a time. This is the same day. This is describing the first day that Krishna went out. It's like a mother and the child, very attached, may go to school the first day. They may feel some sort. This is Krishna's first day out in the forest. So they're so eager to see Krishna. So eager to see Krishna. Why? Because of that beauty. And what do they see? They first see what? The first they see his head, then Ruchira, his charming eyes. What are Krishna's charming eyes? And Charu Hasam. And they see his Charu Hasam. Charu means beautiful smile and his charming eyes. Now, hang with me. This is the key verse here. In this section, I don't know if I can do justice to it, but it'll be worth hearing. Vidva mukunda mukha saragam akshi bringas apam tapam jahur nirahajam vajrayoshitani tatsakritim samadigamya shishvesha ghostam Savidha Hasya Vinayam Garapanga Moksham. Trying to figure out, I don't stick on that and find out. Just excuse me one second, I'll be right back to you. What time is it still there? What? Okay, I have about 10 more minutes. So, with their bee like eyes, the women of Vrindavan drank the honey of the beautiful face of Lord Mukunda. And thus they gave up the distress they had felt during the day because of separation from it. By at night, gopis able to meet Krishna, so. Or during the day, he had gone to the forest. So they're feeling separation. The young Vrindavan ladies cast sidelong glances at the Lord, glances filled with bashfulness, laughter, and submission. And Sri Krishna, completely accepting these glances as a proper offering respect, entered the cowherd village. So Pitva, they're drinking. They came out and they're drinking with their bee-like eyes. Such a nice analogy, because the bee is so eager for the honey. It's kind of agitated and focused. So their eyes are like agitated and focused, and the bee is also drinking, intoxicated. So he's drinking the beautiful face of Mukunda with their bee-like eyes. They're drinking the honey of their face. And he's Mukunda, Mukunda Mukha. What does Mukunda mean? Mukunda means what? The giver of liberation. Why is he the giver of liberation? He's the giver of liberation because Mukunda, because his face has the quality of giving the ecstasy, which defeats liberation. Why is he Mukunda? Because the look or the face gives Ananda. And therefore, when you come in contact with Krishna, you become free from everything else but the absolute reality. Because he's Mukunda. And here, these gopis, they're the ultimate, they're at the highest level of liberation. Because they're absorbed. Mukunda. They're absorbed in Ananda. A face that actually gives the ultimate pleasure. They're absorbed in it. And because they're absorbed in it, they gave up their distress. And that's distress. Distress is due to duality. And duality is due to getting the absolute reality. It is Vayam Dutiya Vinivesita Shati Shadupe Tasya Viparios Miti. I repeated this many times in the Bhakti Sundarbha, the key verse that describes what is the method of realizing the absolute truth. First describes the cause of forgetting it. So if you want to determine the method to realize the absolute truth, you first have to determine the cause of forgetting it, and then remove the cause of forgetting it. Well, the cause of forgetting it is Ishad Upetasya Viparyo Smriti. Ishad, you turn away from Isha, the absolute truth, Viparyo Smriti, and then you forget the absolute truth. And then from that, from that arises duality and fear. So they gave up their distress. And now what happens, the young Vrindavan ladies cast sidelong glances at the Lord. So why are they giving side? Because that's what they have. That's what they can actually offer. They can offer their love, and they can offer their love through their glances. And now we see what the reciprocation of the spiritual, they offered it with and filled with bashfulness, laughter, and submission. And then it's described, there's a battle. When Krishna tries to steal their smile and glances, then as young girls, shame came forward. And then there's a battle between Krishna's stealing their sidelong glances and their shame. This battle is going on between them, and then humility comes, or submission, make peace. And then Krishna steals their glances, or he accepts their glances. And this is the spiritual world. Even if we look here, if we have intense affection to someone, then the greatest pleasure is when our affection is acknowledged and accepted. And this is actually the goal of our life. The goal of our life is that our affection for the absolute is actually accepted. But first, our first goal is actually to have that affection and have that desire. And then to have that hankering, that prithi in the heart, that desire to love Krishna, that desire to be with Krishna, and the pleasure of doing so, that intense eagerness, and then having it accepted. But here, this is rasa. Because also, in that relationship, the shame is there. They're offering, but then it's being stalled, and then the shame is tugged, is struggling, and then the humility. So it says we filled with bashfulness, laughter, and then Krishna completely accepting these glances and offering respect, samadhi dhamya, fully accepting, fully their respect. Krishna fully accepts their offering of love. And they become so satisfied. And then Krishna returns the offering of respect, and then he releases it. He returns the glance, meaning that he's accepted. So this is the vision of the highest reality, these loving exchanges that create the highest pleasure. Anyway, I'm not feeling so much a flow. Maybe I'm tired at night here from the long day. It seems like I can describe more my travelogue and any depths of this. And I know there's so much more in these verses, but well, I can tell you very frankly, it's just somehow not coming forward the way I want. And I've always made a rule when I speak. If the faucet of realization turns off, I should stop speaking. I will do that today. Maybe I'm just too tired. But hopefully something is there. Well, let me just read what Prabhupada said. That will enliven everybody. Prabhupada said, all the gopis in Vrindavan remain very morose on account of Krishna's absence. All day they were thinking of Krishna in the forest, or of him herding the cows in the pasture. When they saw Krishna returning, all their anxieties were immediately relieved. They began to look at his face, the way drones hover over the honey of the lotus flower. When Krishna entered the village, the young gopis smiled and laughed. Krishna, while playing the flute, enjoyed beautiful, smiling face gopis. Anyway, hopefully I'm in Vrindavan for the next week, situated my guest, and we can get back into more of my studying. I'll have commentary on these.